So the past few weeks we've been doing, actually since the election, we've been doing exit interviews with lawmakers who are not returning to the Congress. But we have also been talking with lawmakers who are rolling up their sleeves, anxious to take control in the House of Representatives, principally Republicans. And joining us now from Chiron, Iowa, is Congressman Steve King from Iowa's 5th Congressional District. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Absolutely. And you will take, you'll become chairman of the House Subcommittee on Immigration. Is that correct?
Well, that's subject to the decision of the steering committee. They'll make that decision here in the next couple of weeks.
But you would, I'm
the ranking member today, and I'll be, and I've been serving on that committee for 8 years. So,
and you'd very much like that position, right?
Well, I would. Yes, it's an issue that I've been engaged in for a long time, and I had an intention to start working in that direction when I arrived in Congress 8 years ago.
Now, it seems to be in a time of very divided government in Washington and a lack of bipartisanship, one thing the parties seem to agree on, whether a Republican or a Democrat is in the White House or Republicans or Democrats are in the House and the Senate, that immigration never gets dealt with. Wasn't dealt with during the Bush era, wasn't dealt with during the first term of the first 2 years of the Obama administration. Who's to say it's going to be dealt with when Steve King becomes, if he does, chairman of the House Subcommittee on Immigration?
Well, I think that, you know, if the prospects of getting legislation through the House, the Senate, and on the desk of the president are, you know, not particularly good from my perspective, and the prospects of them pushing comprehensive amnesty through and getting it on the president's desk are not particularly good from their perspective. But what's happened is we found ourselves split on the issue, and the House passed immigration reform legislation in 2006. It didn't go anywhere in the Senate. The Senate moved to pass their comprehensive immigration reform that was driven by President Bush in 2006. And of course, it didn't get taken up in the House side. So that was two different opinions coming at it, kind of oil and water, so to speak, and neither side has prevailed at this point. It's essentially been fought to a draw.
So are you going to be a compromiser here and take positions from both sides and try to get something that will be amenable to the Senate and the House, or are you going to stick with your particular position?
Well, I think that, you know, my position has long been is essentially the enforcement first component of this. We had those promises in the past that if we would just grant, you know, Ronald Reagan signed the amnesty bill in 86 and called it amnesty. And I remember those promises. I was hiring employees at that date. I lived in fear that the INS would show up in my office and I might be missing a form or something and find myself in violation of federal law. Of course, they never showed up, and the enforcement diminished over the years, and the amnesty increased over the years. So I am one who believes strongly that the promise of enforcing the law cannot be traded off for an acceptance of granting a path to legalization for people that are here illegally.
Now, do you support removing the path to legalization or legal immigration for people whose children are born here, the so-called anchor babies, children born in the United States automatically get citizenship?
Yes, I do, and because I don't believe that that was contemplated when the 14th Amendment was ratified in 1865. It's become an industry now where there's turnkey operations that are in range prices ranging from $5,000 to $15,000. They will smuggle the pregnant woman in to have her baby here in the United States, get the birth certificate for the baby, and sometimes go back to the home country and start the reunification process.
How many numbers are we talking about? I mean, those are impressive prices, but how many people are we talking about literally being smuggled in to have these babies? Do you know?
Or coming in on their own. But annually, those numbers are estimated by outside organizations between 340,000 a year and 750,000 a year.
Yeah, but they're not being smuggled in. Those are just people who come in.
Well, some come in, some are smuggled in. Those I don't have those numbers separated.
Right, apparently.
But those, but the anchor babies are estimated between 340 and 750. So that'd be one in a dozen, or one in every half a dozen babies born in America are babies that are born to an illegal mother. And then once the family reunification starts, the immigration, you know, the numbers of immigration are out of our control from that perspective.
I guess it just
reunification.
It concerns me that people who are that concerned about coming and being citizens in the United States, why are they a threat to you? I would think that they would be the kinds of people you would want in the country to work and to be a part of the growth economy.
Well, some of them may be a threat. We don't have very good data on that, especially the types of people that are coming from countries of countries that where we are. Let's see, how do we label that? People from countries that are breeding terrorists and sending terrorists here. There's some of that going on. I don't have very good data on that, but mostly here's the real thing is that the Heritage Foundation has done a study that shows this is without regard to immigration status, and a household headed by high school dropout costs the taxpayers $22,449 a year. For the duration of that household, their calculation is $1.5 million.
Right, but you don't have to be an immigrant to be a high school dropout, Congressman Steve King. Let me just ask you.
I obviously know that.
Right.
Many of them are illiterate in their own language.
Right, here's my concern, though. You're talking about rolling back anchor babies, making that path to citizenship go away. You're talking about broad brush sort of characterizations of the immigration population as being high school dropouts. Seems to me you're looking for this committee assignment as more of a grandstanding rather than a compromising role, and nothing's going to get done in this term either.
I don't know how you could assign that as a grandstanding role. This is a policy that has 95 signatures on it in this current Congress, and I expect the next Congress will get more signatures than this one is. And it's a subject matter that's being debated all over the country. After some of the members in the Senate had called for a constitutional amendment, I stepped up and said, no, the scholarship on the 14th Amendment allows for Congress to pass a law. And if it's litigated, it's litigated. If we lose in the Supreme Court, then we'd have to contemplate whether to bring a constitutional amendment. I'm bringing sense to this and a legal perspective to it that's more constructive than the dialogue we've seen before I entered into it.
Well, we will see where the debate heads when Congress gets started in your committee on taking a look at immigration again. And if the parties can handle it, you'll certainly be a convincer of me. But I'm a skeptic at this point. Congressman Steve King, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Congressman Steve King represents the 5th District of Iowa, which covers Sioux City, Iowa. He joined us from Chiron, Iowa.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.